Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd. First Quarter 2021 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After management's prepared remarks, there will be a question and answer session. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, to Ms. Ripple Zhang, JinkoSolar's Investor Relations Manager. Please proceed, Ripple.
Thank you, operator. Thank everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's first quarter 2021 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Xuande, Chairman of the Board of Directors and Chief Executive Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, Mr. Zhenner Miao, Chief Marketing Officer of JinkoSolar Company Limited, Mr. Pan Li, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, and Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Company Limited. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Xuande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Li.
一季度公司总出货量 5.4个G瓦， 收入 12.1亿美金， 毛利率 17.1%。 主要材料如镀金硅料、 光伏玻璃， 由于供应紧张， 一季度价格环比 4季度均出现上涨， 受到宏观经济带来的大宗商品涨价的影响， 接线和EV等生产材料同样环比上升。 一季度我们选择了相对灵活的经营策略， 加强了对供应链的管理和把控， 以及加速了工艺改进， 以缓解由于材料价格上涨带来的成本压力。
In the first quarter of 2021, our shipments including wafer, cell and module were 5.4 gigawatts. Total revenues were $1.21 billion, and gross margin was 17.1%. Prices of polysilicon and solar glass continued to increase quarter over quarter due to the shortages. On the other hand, macroeconomic conditions continued to impact commodity prices, which further increased sequentially for several production materials, such as solar junction boxes and EVA. In the first quarter, we adopted a relatively flexible business strategy and continued to reinforce the management and control of our supply chain while accelerating manufacturing process improvements in order to ease pressure on cost.
硅料的供应不足与下游旺盛的需求错配带来产业链波动在二季度延续。 部分硅料厂的减薪更加剧了供不应求，硅料的价格从近期达到$220人民币每公斤的高点，较去年年底价格上涨超过了两倍。虽然玻璃的价格在二季度大幅的下降，对组件成本有所贡献，但是原部底硅料成本持续上升，所带来组件成本的上涨。此外， 受疫情及苏伊士运河事故的双重影响，全球二季度的有效运力环比一季度有所下降。集装箱短期的问题在部分重要航线持续存在，各种因素叠加式的组件价格水涨船高，下游客户的需求在短期内受到抑制。
The volatility in the supply chain caused by the imbalance between polysilicon supply and the strong downstream demand continued in the second quarter, and the overhaul of some polysilicon manufacturing plants intensified the shortage even more. The price of polysilicon reached RMB 220 per kilogram recently, more than doubled compared with the end of last year. Although the price of solar glass declined significantly in the second quarter, it was far from being able to offset the increase in production cost caused by the rising price of polysilicon. In addition, due to the double impact of the pandemic and the Suez Canal incident, transportation capacity worldwide decreased sequentially compared with the first quarter. The shortage of containers on some important routes remains problematic. The combination of many factors have caused module prices to increase, and the demand from downstream customers was affected in the short term.
面对这诸多挑战，我们与客户保持了密切的沟通和协商，并共同制定出应对挑战的解决方案。我们看到了绝大多数客户对宏观经济以及供应的波动表示理解，并对组件价格和项目收益率的接受度和或多或少的弹性，但价格的持续上升不可避免地影响了终端需求。我们看到来自终端的负反馈已经开始抑制材料价格的继续上涨，材料价格的高位回落和保持稳定将会带给终端市场需求出现上升。由于今年产业链最短缺的硅料足以支撑160个 G 瓦的装机，明年足以支撑210吉瓦的装机，因此我们认为硅料价格基于目前的高位再持续上涨不具备基础，上下游博弈有望在今年下半年达到相对平衡。考虑到未来几年公司的出货量可能会大幅增长，为增强硅料的供应的稳定性，公司于近期战略入股了内蒙古新特能源，同时我们与中海远海运签署了战略合作协议，这将有助于我们为客户提供长期的优质的物流解决方案。我们目前是中远海运全球最重要60个核心客户之一。
Faced with so many challenges, we continue to maintain close communication with all our customers to work out feasible solutions. The majority of our customers have a deep understanding of macroeconomic and supply chain volatility and have more or less flexibility to accept higher module prices and lower IRRs. However, the continuous increase in module prices will inevitably affect demand. We notice that the lower demand has kept the price from rising further, and the lowering and stabilization of the material prices should drive up downstream demand. On a positive note, polysilicon output is sufficient to support 160 gigawatts of installation this year and at least 210 gigawatts of installations in 2022. Therefore, we believe that there is no basis for the continued rise of polysilicon prices. Based on the current high spot price, the upstream and downstream fluctuation is expected to stabilize in the second half of this year. Considering that the company's shipments may increase significantly in the next few years, in order to enhance the stability of polysilicon material supply, the company has strategically invested in Inner Mongolia Xinte Energy recently. At the same time, we signed a strategic cooperation agreement with China Costco Shipping Corporation, which will help us provide customers with long-term, high-quality transportation solutions. We are currently one of the 60 key accounts of China Costco Shipping worldwide.
一季度末，我们基于对市场的判断，主动下调了组件的开工率。单晶硅片和电子能基本保持在满产的状态。经营策略上，我们凭借一体化产能的结构优势，灵活调整单晶硅片和组件的对外销售，并保留了一定的产能支持现货订单，以降低成本大幅波动对盈利的影响。
At the end of the first quarter, we made a judgment call based on the prevailing market conditions and lowered the production volumes of modules, while mono wafers and cells remains at full production levels.In terms of business strategy, we continue to leverage the advantages of our integrated capacity to adjust external sales of mono wafer and modules, and reserve a certain volume to support spot market orders, so as to reduce the impact of price volatility on our profit margin.
行业的挑战也带来了技术进步的加速，比如硅片的多薄片化的加速，以节约规耗、组件工艺改进的加速，以提高提升功率、生产自动化的加速，以降本增效。拥有先进的技术的企业，更能享有先发优势，并在材料成本高企的情况下，实现较稳定的经济效益。 我们的薄片化已达到了行业的领先水平，智能化工厂正在优化工艺并改进生产的自动化流程。这些举措将在未来持续地贡献经济效益，巩固我们在生产制造端的优势。
The challenges faced by the PV industry have accelerated technological advancement, such as wafer sealing to save polysilicon consumption, technology improvement to further increase module output, and the ramp-up of production automation to reduce cost and increase efficiency. Companies with advanced technologies can enjoy first-mover advantages and achieve relatively stable economic benefits despite rising material costs. Our wafer sealing capabilities have reached industry-leading standards, and our smart factories are optimizing process and improving automation every day. This initiative will continuously contribute to our economic benefits and consolidate the advantages of our in-house manufacturing capabilities.
晶硅光伏主流电池技术正在从 P型到 N型过渡，行业迎来新一轮的技术变革，对前沿技术的研发储备、晶硅电池组件 系统高度协同的研发创新体系，以及将研发成果快速商业化量产的能力，赋予的晶科引领行业的技术竞争力。我们在两年前已投产800兆瓦的 N型 TOPCon 电池，目前在实验室的效率、量产效率和成本方面均已成为行业标杆。我们目前已完成了高效叠层钙钛矿电池技术平台的搭建，预计年内 将达到转换效率 30%以上的行业领先水平。中短期来看，我们将对能够形成核心竞争力的技术环节投入更多的资源，并拓展更多的光伏加应用模式，通过不断的技术进步和工艺改进，大幅度地推动产品和系统发展成本的降低。Mainstream
crystalline silicon cell technology has been gradually transitioning from P-type to N-type cells, and the industry is expected to usher in a new phase of technological upgrades. Cutting-edge R&D in technologies are highly cooperative and innovative systems from wafer, cell, module to system, and the ability to quickly commercialize. R&D results in mass production have propelled Jinko Solar to the top, and we continue to lead technology breakthroughs in the industry. We started to produce the 800 megawatt N-type TOPCon cell 2 years ago, and it has become the industry benchmark in terms of lab efficiency, mass production efficiency, and cost control. Meanwhile, we have just completed the construction of a highly efficiency laminated perovskite cell technology platform, which is expected to reach an industry-leading conversion efficiency of over 30% within the year. In the short to medium term, we will invest more resources into technology development that will improve product competitiveness. We will also continue to expand our Solar Plus business, promote technical and process improvements to lower LCOE for all our global customers.
产能扩张方面，考虑到今年的供应量和市场情况，我们调整了硅片电池组件的扩产节奏。到年底，单晶硅片电池组件的产能预计分别达到30个吉瓦、24个吉瓦和33个吉瓦。今年的资本开支将相应压缩，来最大化地匹配今年的供应量情况。
In terms of capacity expansion, taking into account this year's supply chain and market conditions, we adjusted the expansion of wafers, cells, and modules accordingly. Our in-house production capacity of mono wafers, cells, and modules are expected to reach 30 gigawatt, 24 gigawatt, and 33 gigawatt, respectively, by the end of 2021. CapEx will be reduced accordingly and in line with supply chain situation this year.
话题交给接纳之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。2021年第二季度公司的总出货量在 5.1 到 5.3 个 G 瓦之间，其中组件的出货量在4到 4.2 个 G 瓦之间，营业收入在12亿美金到 12.5 亿美金之间，毛利率在12%到15%之间。2021年的全年的总出货量包含硅片、电池组件维持25到30个G瓦指引不变。
Before turning over to Jenna, I would like to go over our guidance for the second quarter of 2021. We expect total shipments to be in the range of 5.1 to 5.3 gigawatt, including module shipments to be in the range of 4 to 4.2 gigawatt for the second quarter of 2021. Total revenue for the second quarter is expected to be in the range of $1.2 billion to $1.25 billion. Gross margin for the second quarter is expected to be in the range of 12% to 15%. The full year 2021 shipments guidance, including wafers, cells, and modules, is unchanged and expected to be in the range of 25 gigawatt to 30 gigawatt.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. In the fourth quarter of 2021, total shipments of modules reached 4.6 gigawatt, a new record for the first quarter. In addition, roughly 800 megawatt of cells and wafers were shipped to China market. From a regional perspective on module shipments, shipments to Europe and emerging markets both had significant growth sequentially and year over year, while shipments to the U.S. market remained relatively stable. In the second quarter, as challenges in the supply chain intensified, we proactively adjusted our strategy for the order book and responded to supply chain volatility by fine-tuning the proportion of wafer, cell, and module shipments to maintain profitability. Faced with challenges in the material cost and transportation, our sales team kept close communication with clients to find mutually acceptable solutions. Based on their feedback, we know that many Chinese utility investors, including state-owned enterprises, have moderately lowered their expectations for yield. Overseas, demand for certain installations have seen stronger tolerance for higher module prices due to advantages in electricity prices or lower cost of the system construction. Meanwhile, some clients have accepted delays in module deliveries. Expectations for yield varies across different countries, project types, and scale, but overall market demand remains optimistic. The imbalance in supply chain is expected to continue for some time, so we are keeping our order book and its execution at flexible and sustainable level. Our product structure continues to be optimized according to the demand. With flexible business model and relatively higher prices, the demand for distributed generation continues to grow in regions like Europe, Australia, Japan, US, where we can leverage our global brand awareness and reputation. Clients have been favorable towards our premium quality products such as N-Type and Tiger Pro products, which were specifically designed for residential, industrial, and commercial distributed generation facilities. In terms of annual shipments for 2021, geographical demand has been roughly divided into North America, Asia-Pacific, both for 20 to 25%, while China, Europe, and emerging markets for 15 to 20%, respectively. This year, market demand has experienced multiple challenges, such as continued delay caused by the resurgence of COVID-19 in Southeast Asia, rising costs of PV power station projects due to price hike in polysilicon and backhaul commodities, and extended delivery delays caused by logistic disruptions. We believe these challenges will be gradually resolved in time. Meanwhile, we are constantly improving our mechanism of dealing with risks. We are optimistic about the growth in global market demand over the next few years and remain fully confident about our ability to capture a larger global market share year-over-year by providing sophisticated products and services for our global clients. With that, I will turn it over to Pan.
Thank you, Junior. Despite increased cost of production materials and logistics, our major financial metrics such as gross margin, operating margin, and net margin all improved sequentially. This is due to the sequential increase in our ASP quarter-over-quarter and our continuous efforts to optimize our cost structure. Let me go into more details about this quarter now. The total revenue was 1.21 billion, up 9% year-over-year if we exclude the impact from the disposal of overseas power plants in the first quarter last year. Gross margin was 17.1% compared with 16% in the fourth quarter last year and 19.5% in the first quarter last year. Total operating expenses in the first quarter was 184.6 billion, a decrease of 15.8% compared with fourth quarter last year. This sequential decrease was mainly attributed to a decrease in disposal and impairment loss on property, plant, and equipment. Excluding impairment loss, total operating expenses accounted for 13.7% of total revenues in the first quarter this year, compared with 14% in the fourth quarter last year. We're working with further control operating expenses with increasing revenues in the second half of the year. Total operating expenses as a percentage of the total revenues are expected to decrease further. Operating margin was 1.9% in the first quarter this year, compared with 0.8% in the fourth quarter last year. EBITDA was 123 million compared with 100 million in the fourth quarter last year. Net income was 33.7 million and the non-GAAP net income was 7.5 million, both increased sequentially compared with last quarter. Diluted earnings per ADS was 0.15. The impact from foreign exchange rates remained. We recorded a net exchange loss of 4.1 million in the first quarter this year. We will continue to hedge against the foreign exchange risks to mitigate the impact on operating results. In terms of transportation, as consumption demand in major economies in the world regain strength, the pandemic caused further delays and inefficiencies in port operations. As a result, we expect that the overall freight rate will not decline until the first quarter next year. In the face of the tough situation, we adopted CFR model for quoting and continue to foster deeper strategic partnerships with logistic companies. At the same time, as module power and proportion of large size module shipment continue to increase, container transportation is expected to improve efficiency and result in a drop in freight cost per watt. Moving to the balance sheet. At the end of the first quarter, our balance of cash as cash equivalents were about 1 billion compared with 1.2 billion at end of last year, the fourth quarter last year. Accounts receivable turnover days were 59 days compared with 50 days in the fourth quarter last year. Inventory turnover days were 126 days compared to 97 days in the fourth quarter last year. Total debt was 2.67 billion at the end of the first quarter, compared to 2.8 billion at the end of the fourth quarter last year, gradually improving quarter over quarter. Out of the total debt, 17 million was related to international solar projects. Net debt was 1.59 billion compared with 1.56 billion at the end of the fourth quarter last year. In light of supply chain volatility and market conditions, we're reducing capital expenditures and expect total capex to be around 800 million for the year. This concludes our prepared remarks. We're now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Audio participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you will be placed in the queue. To cancel the queue, please press 02. Once again, 01 on your telephone keypad now. First, we have Philip Shen. Your question, please.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. Given the recent WRO in the U.S. on Hoshing, was wondering if you can comment on how much Hoshing content do you guys have in your modules?
Hi, Phil. This is Jenna. Thanks for the question. Actually, you know, that's pretty latest development from the WRO side. We are still under, you know, internal investigation and reviews about the whole process and the reactions based on the WRO. So we will keep everyone updated once we get anything. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jenner. Is there something else? Sorry. Okay. I have a few more. Thanks. As it relates to your guidance, you know, I think the implied shipments for Q3 and 4 are roughly 17-ish gigawatts. You know, what's the mix you think between Q3 and Q4? Is it evenly split, or do you think it's heavily or more weighted to Q4? And then also, if you can comment on the outlook for 2022. What kind of, I know you gave global market growth. Do you expect your shipments to grow in line with that market growth?
So, yeah, that's a great question. Actually, the second half is always a peak season for solar, especially Q4 for the China market. We are expecting a strong Q4 demand in China market as well. Regarding the portion-wise, I would like to remind that the total shipment numbers contains both modules and wafers, even, you know, small volumes of the cells. So regarding the detailed breakdowns between that, we will, you know, keep ourselves flexible enough to adjust that to the market changes in Q4. But for me, I'm pretty confident that, you know, with a strong demand in Q4, we will, you know, deliver a let's say, solid performance for the whole year's shipment and profitability. Regarding 2022, the market itself is believed to continue to grow. And we, JinkoSolar itself, we plan to grow organically as well. So we will keep everyone posted. It's still very early to provide any detailed number yet.
Okay, thanks. You know, I noticed the technology details around the perovskite cell reaching over 30% efficiency. That's a very, you know, if you get that this year, that's great. That's incredible. Can you talk about when you think the perovskite cell could be commercially available How stable is it now? And then I think on the last quarter you talked about the N-type capacity for 2021 being 800 megawatts. Do you still, with the capacity expansion reduction, do you continue to see 800 megawatts for 2021? And then how much do you see in 2022 for N-type? Thanks.
For N-type, I think we currently we stick to the 900 megawatt we have, and those product is super popular in the distribution market. We can enjoy a higher brand premium together with higher acceptance of the N-type products. For the future, we are closely following the development of the industrialization of the latest N-type cell technology, even some of the module technology, to decide our roadmap. Right now, we cannot give a very detailed numbers or options on the table yet. But definitely, we will be one of the early movers for the technology for sure. Thank you.
Great. And Jenna, did you address perovskite specifically? Do you think you could be commercially
that,
level 21 or?
I think that will be a even longer term. I think N-type definitely will be earlier than the other technologies to become a mature and a massive applied in this industry. But definitely, we are not only looking to 1 year or two. That's something we are looking for even, 3-5 years time. Definitely we are investing in that.
Great. And in the Q1 quarter, you guys had, I think, about 800 megawatts of wafer and cell sales. Can you talk about the margins on those sales, especially wafer? What kind of margin did you have there? Was it similar to your peers there?
So let me look into the numbers, but as far as I can remember, it should be somewhere around 20% margins for wafer size. The sales number is very small. The shipment is very small, so I don't have the margin yet.
Okay. Thank you, Jenner. I'll pass it on.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Philip. Audio participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you'll be placed in the queue. Next up, we have Brian from Goldman Sachs. Brian, your question, please.
Hey, guys. Good evening. Thanks for taking the questions. I had a couple on the guidance. Maybe first off, a simple one. Just, it's the last week of June. The quarter's almost closed here. Your revenue and shipment guidance seems pretty tight in terms of the range, but there's still 300 basis points between low and high end on gross margins for 2Q. Can you give us some clarity or sense of why there's still such a potential gap in what the gross margins end up, the gross margins you realize for the quarter are going to be?
In terms of guidance of the gross margin, it's really close to the end of quarter. The gross margin is still some impact from the polysilicon, the recent polysilicon price, as well as the foreign exchange rate, the RMB against US dollars. So we just give a relatively wide range, 12% to 15%. And I think it's probable, on the high end of the range.
Okay, fair enough. And then I think, sticking with the gross margins, obviously polysilicon has been more volatile and seen much faster appreciation than people expected heading into the year. You and your peers, I think, were thinking Q1 could be the bottom for gross margins based on the guidance here. Clearly, 2Q is going to be lower. How should we be thinking about that in the context of gross margins for the rest of the year? Are we, in this low teens level until poly starts to go down meaningfully, or could we see another downtick into 3Q given, you know, inventory of high-cost poly still has, you know, some time frame that it needs to flush out of your cost structure?
Yeah, we are observing, you know, the market price, including modules, is on the, you know, upward trend, and we are expecting the stabilized the price of polysilicons. So we think, you know, it's you know, we have the capabilities you know, to maintain a reasonable, you know, gross margin in the second half year, and we hope it's better, you know, compared to the first half year because of the stabilization of polysilicons, as well as we continue to, you know, improve our production costs and to mitigate the cost pressures from polysilicons, and we will continue to maintain some flexibilities in terms of the shipments of modules versus the mono wafers.
Okay, fair enough. And then maybe two questions on the revenue portion of the guidance. You know, you guys mentioned some projects are, you know, delaying or seeing some timing issues because of the high cost of panels, and you have been raising prices throughout the year. Are you having to reprice any of these contracts, or are you seeing pricing, you know, back half or early 22 deliveries starting to kind of go down again? Again, you have a view that polysilicon stabilizes, so are you reflecting that in maybe firmer or declining module prices as well moving through the year?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think for that part, it's true that some of the projects or some of our clients' projects has to accept some of the delays because of the, you know, unexpected high price, not only module, actually, if you're taking into the, take the other factors into consideration as well, for example, the logistics, you know, the labor cost, even the, you know, the cost of the trackers, even sometimes the inverters. So, yeah, in general, so everything, you know, goes up. So that's why some of the project which has a very tight budget to the IR or CapEx has to delayed or even recapped somehow to adapt themselves to the situation right now. For the next years, actually, we are expecting a pretty stable years, because even when the polysilicon price becomes stable as of now, and also we are expecting more polysilicon capacity available for mid of 2022. But when we compare with the demand side, actually, we are expecting more demand coming up compared with the additional, you know, new polysilicon capacity, especially when so many projects and the demand get delayed into 22, as well as, you know, the new project coming up online. So we are expecting a very promising year of 2022 as well. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that's helpful. I guess maybe just to simplify the question, are you helping your customers at all with pricing, i.e., you raise prices to reflect the poly increases earlier in the year? You know, now that poly is maybe peaking and could start to go down, are you anticipating or are you quoting, you know, more aggressive pricing to keep these projects on track? On the module specifically,
no,
sorry.
It varies case by case. It won't be a general, you know, solution for everyone, but we are, you know, dealing with every customer case by case. Yeah, you know, we have, you know, all different kind of the business models to try to, you know, find a mutual solutions for the customers to solve their problems. Yeah, including all the methods you just talked about, but not only limited to that, right? So.
Okay, fair enough. Last one for me, and I'll pass it on. You know, you're maintaining the 25 to 30 gigawatt guidance. I know that shipment guidance for 2021. I know it includes the cells and the wafers as well as module shipments. I'm not sure if you spoke to this, but what's the module portion of the 25 to 30 gigawatts? Just trying to get a sense of how much is baked into second half growth here.
Right now, we are expecting a majority of it, but we don't have a budgeted number yet because we are totally flexible up to the market. For example, if the polysilicon market is stable and the market demand starts to pick up, definitely we are more than happy to ship everything in modules instead of wafer itself. But if you know the market itself continue to be volatile as it was in the last 3 or 6 months time, you know, we are forced or we have to, you know, be flexible to expose ship more wafers in order to adapt to the market risk.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. All your participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you will be placed in the queue. All your participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you will be placed in the queue. To cancel the queue, please press 02. Audio participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you will be placed in the queue. Next, we have Reddy from Santana Capital. Your question, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Yes. My question is about the gross margin, and you had a very nice positive surprise on the gross margin in the first quarter, and I understand that part of it is because the wafer business is higher margin. So is it fair to believe or think that you are now managing the business to improve gross income and to maximize gross income rather than just be maximizing revenues? And therefore, for the near term anyway, a better benchmark to evaluate progress is to be looking at gross income. And I noticed that, you know, the gross income number was higher than a year ago, despite obviously a decline despite a substantial decline in module prices, your gross income year over year was higher. So that's my first question. That is gross income the better benchmark to evaluate progress?
Yeah. I think that's very encouraging comments for the company. I think for the company strategy-wise, we are not only looking to, you know, one goal, right, so to operate or to do our job. Actually, you know, it will be a balance between different goals. Definitely, growth revenues and growth margins is a very important factor and the target for the company's management. But we have to also you know take care of the other factors such as, you know, market share, customers, you know, long term partnership, as well as, you know, the revenues growth, or to make sure, you know, company is growing and you know, in a sustainable way, right? So long story short, you know, it won't be a profit only or gross margin only, but definitely that's a good angle to look into. Thank you.
And my second question is about the listing in the Chinese Star market. Can you give us an update on that?
It's still in the, you know, preparation stage, but we expect to and we will release the deals if we reach the significant milestone.
Can you give us a sense of what the timeline might be on that?
No, we are not in a position now to talk about the timetable, but just what I said, if we expect to reach some milestone, and we will, release the news, and if we reach that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Reddy. Next, we have Wailo Jen from Reese Capital. Your question, please.
Hi, management. Thank you for taking my call. My first question is regarding the we saw in June that many other module makers are cutting their utilization rate again in June due to the high cost. Do you expect the utilization rate can rebound in July given there will be more new projects released?
So you are talking about the the company specific situation of the industry, estimations. If you talk about I think the polysilicon is still in the high, relative highs, and now it's stabilized. And if it's stabilized, it will be helpful, for the industry, the module makers to increase their utilizations. In the third quarter, but I think that July, one again, probably information utilization rate is still low, compared to the second quarter.
So when do you think the production rate can rebound for the sector?
It has a good indication, right? If you look at the polysilicon, the wafer cell price is stabilized, and the downstream players, they are willing to take relatively high module price. I think it has high chance, second half of the year, the utilization rate will, be better than, in the first half year.
Thanks. And also want to ask if there's any further ASP cut for polysilicon or the wafer, are we seeing any potential for impairment loss for our inventory?
We don't expect that because, firstly, when we quote the module price, we estimate the potential our pressures from the cost perspective. And the second one is, because we are integrated in productions, so we have relatively low cost compared to the players, which they don't have the model wafer capacities. So we don't expect, the inventory risk, recent stage.
Thanks. And my next question is regarding our capacity expansion plan. We cut the plan for around 3 gigawatts. Can you elaborate why we are so cautious on the expansion right now?
Given the polysilicon is still relatively tight, and the industry utilization, the model wafer utilization, industry will not be 100%, and make the capex investment relatively slowly to make sure we have relatively high utilizations. It doesn't mean we will not make the investment, and some of the investment we will be you know, hurt, you know, investors in early next year.
Thanks. My last question is, do we have any guidance for the operating profit margin? Because we're seeing some slight improvement in Q1, but still much lower than last year. So will you have any guidance on the OP margin?
Operating margin, we don't give the guidance, but there is some specific matters in the first quarter. And regarding the one-off impairment for the solar operating projects, international projects, and we don't expect to have you know, the impairment, you know, throughout the year. So, you know, the operating expenses, the range will be roughly 12% to 13%.
Thanks. No further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Next, we have Reddy from Santana Capital. Your question, please.
Yes. my question is about the expectation for module prices in the second half of the year versus the first half. You know, obviously, many module companies have lowered their utilization rates because of the shrinkage in margins recently. The question is, as you have a standoff between customers and suppliers on modules, while the near-term utilization rate has come down because customers are unwilling to accept the prices that you want to charge them, is it fair to think that in the second half of the year, it's just as likely that customers will accept somewhat higher prices than what they are paying in the second quarter?
Yeah, thank you for the question. I think for the ASP or the market price, let's talk about it for a second, right? So for the market price for the second half, what we have seen, firstly, is a stabilized polysilicon price. In the first half, you know, the polysilicon raw material price jumped almost every day or every week. So it brings a huge uncertainty for the, you know, lower downstream, especially for the module market prices. Sometimes we have to update our quotes or prices every week or even every 2 or 3 days time. That brings huge uncertainty for the customer. And for now, we have seen the stabilized polysilicon prices, and also the industry is not, you know, expecting any huge volatile polysilicon price in the near future as well. So we have seen a lot of customers start to take actions to build up their budget and the capex, even the, you know, construction schedule based on the current you know, market prices. So that's why we are so confident about the second half demand will continue to be strong. And especially we have seen a strong China demand in Q4, which will, you know, which will become a very huge, important cornerstone for the global demand for the second half as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reddy. I will now pass the call to Ms. Ripple.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us the call today. Have a good night. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.